Thank you. So we're looking at better, stronger together, and we're building together, and we're finding out what it means to be a people of God in the kingdom of God. We've looked at some couple of principles in the kingdom. A couple of weeks ago or so, we looked at it is better to be loving than right. That there's three things: faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. And then unity is more important than service. We're all baptized by one Spirit into one body. And this morning, number three, I'd like to say this. This is the strap line for this morning. Give up your rights, be like Jesus. Give up your rights, be like Jesus. Give up your rights. Stop. No, 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 no. I cannot give up my rights. My life is based upon my rights. Rights are coming out of our ears. We have a new right produced by the courts every week. No, hold on. Let's look at this week. I have a right to protest. Actually, I have a right to not protest, and I exercised it. I have a right to tell I have a right to tell 50% of the whole of the world's leaders that they're rubbish. And they don't know what they're doing. I have a right to be heard and a right to be understood. I have a right to have a diesel car and have a gas central heating. I have a right to spend my money on what I want to spend it on. I have a right to work, actually, and I have a right not to work. I have a right to my pension. I have a right to be able to see my doctor when I want to. I have a right for Lloyds Bank to answer the phone. I have a right not to be told what to do, but to do what I want. Perhaps more for the younger people. I have a right to decide when I go out and when I come back. I have a right to choose my friends and who I want to go out with. I have a right to be in control of my life. I have a right to be in control of my body. I have a right to put ink on it wherever I like and whenever I like. I have a right to stick things in it and through it. I have a right to eat. And I have a right not to eat. Rights, rights, rights. The list is endless. Do you want me to go on? Is it any different in church? I have the right to have the noise level exactly as I want it. I have a right to have my kind of music. Where have all the hymns gone? I have a right to withhold my money if they do something I don't like. I have a right to sack the minister. I have a right to have the chairs facing the right way. Do you think I'm joking? I know churches that have split because the chairs weren't in the right direction. I have a right to sit in the place I always sit. A long time ago, I took my wife and two children to the main church, Vineyard Church in Anaheim in Los Angeles. And we knew there would be a lot of people there, thousands. And so we went early because we wanted a good seat. And when we got there, there were a few people there, but not too many. And we sat down around about, fairly central, around about, I can't remember now, eight or ten rows back. There was just, every seat was empty, we just sat down. And the place filled up and filled up and filled up around us and behind us and so on. And about 5 minutes, 10 minutes before the service started, somebody came up and said, "You're in my seat." "Pardon?" "Well, there was nothing on the seat. There was no coat. There was no reserved sign. There was no Bible. There was no towel." But it was made very clear that we weren't to sit there. I have to say, I was shocked. At the church, the little church that I was at in Albury, in the Black Country, even we found out you don't do that to visitors. We didn't get a, "Oh, where are you from? Oh, I love your accent. Oh, I love your kids." Nothing, just clear off. Now, I'm not saying that those are the words that we used, but it was made clear that this is our seat and you need to move. And by then, of course, we'd come early. The next seat was somewhere up there. I hadn't gone 8,000 miles just simply to go to morning church, of course. We'd gone for other reasons as well, but I was still shocked. Have I touched something in you yet, or do you want me to go on with some more rites? Have I got something at least that's triggered? Take a moment. Just stop and think now. What are your pet rites? What are you expecting to stand up for this week? You know, it's an amazing thing, but there is a Greek word that actually means people's rights. Does anybody know what that word is? Well, the word is, are you ready for it? Laodicea. People's rights. Wow, you've heard that before, haven't you? You thought it was a place. Well, it was a place. But the church at Laodicea got a letter from God. The church of the people's rights got a letter from God. And God said they were neither hot nor cold. He said they had a foot in both camps. And he said he was sick of them. Now hear this. This is important. This was not a letter to the city of Laodicea. God was quite content for the city to carry on with their people's rights. It was a wealthy city. They had a lot of the justice there. The letter was to the church. This was a church, the Bible says, that was deceived. They thought they were something, and they were not. Let's have that first scripture, Colossians 2 and verse 4. I want, this is amazing. Is it up there? Oh yeah. Colossians was written to the Colossians, of course. Except that there were three cities right round Colossae. One was Hierapolis and the other was Laodicea. And if you read Colossians, you'll see that it says, when you finish reading this, you need to take it to the church at Laodicea and read it there as well. So the letter to Colossians was also for a letter to Laodicea. And it says this in chapter 2. I'm telling you this letter is so that no one may deceive you. And yet, a very short time afterwards, God writes to them and says, you are deceived. Did God say, I told you so? Did God say, do you know, they read that letter out and I told you, do not be deceived. I'm telling you this so you're not deceived by worldly, apparently okay ideas. Hey, this is a good idea. You see, people's rights are to do with the world's system and not the kingdom of God. People's rights are okay out there because that's all they've got. But not in here. So, if you're a Christian this morning, whether you're here, whether you're online looking at us, if you're a Christian, I have a word from God for you. And God's word is this to all Christians. You have no rights. You have no rights. Give them up. I'm going to give you three compelling reasons why that is true. Scriptural, biblical reasons. The first reason why, if you're a Christian, you have no rights, is that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Let's have a look at the next one. This is 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Say these words with me. You are not your own. You don't have any rights. You don't belong to you. You belong to God. The Holy Spirit has the rights. Romans 12, 1 and 2. These are all scriptures, you know. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We've been worshiping this morning. When we worship, we lay ourselves on the altar. We become a sacrifice. Did you know that sacrifices have no rights? You lay yourself on the altar as a sacrifice. You have no rights. The Holy Spirit is the controlling force within you. And therefore, as I said in the title, we're told to walk in the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit says, go and protest, you go and protest. If the Holy Spirit says, you're not to go and protest, you don't go and protest. If the Holy Spirit says, exercise this right, you exercise that right. And if the Holy Spirit says, you are not to exercise that right, you don't exercise that right. As we have already said this morning, it's not your decision. It's God's decision. Your life is based on your relationship with Jesus, not on your rights. Now, that isn't to say that all of the rights that I've mentioned, or any some others you think of, are wrong in themselves necessarily. It's just that the basis for them, the foundation for them, is not in you exercising your rights. It's in the kingdom of God. It's in your relationship with Jesus. The second reason. You're dead. Did you know dead people have no rights? I never heard of one dead person that said, hey, I've got a right to live. In fact, I didn't ever hear of any dead person say, I've got a right to anything. Let's look at Romans 6. Remind ourselves. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Have you forgotten that when you got baptized, you went into the water to die and were buried? And you came up a new person, not the old one. The rites were buried with you. You had that you died. And now the only rights you have are in the kingdom. You have a right to be loved by Jesus. You have a right to talk to him. You have a right to follow him. You have a right to obey him. Galatians, let's look at Galatians. These are again all scriptures, you know. I'm just reminding you. For I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, says Paul. My rights have gone. But Christ lives in me now. They're his rights. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And Colossians 3 says, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You're a dead person. And dead people have no rights. Third one. Jesus gave up his rights. Let's look at Philippians 2 and remind ourselves. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. That's putting the cart before the horse. Let's look at what Jesus did. Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He gave up his right to be equal with God. He gave up his right to be somebody and became nothing. He gave up his right to control and became a servant. He gave up his right to glory and became a human. He gave up his right to life and died on a cross. Graham Kendrick said it this way, didn't he? He laid aside his majesty and gave up everything for me. Jesus laid aside every solitary right he had for you. And he came to where you and I lay, and he found us there. In the gutter, with nothing except our little rights. And he gave us life. And the scripture says we are to be like him. We are to have the same attitude that he had. We are to do what he did. We are to lay aside our rights in order that life might come. In order that we can give life, the life of the Lord, to others. Let's look at the words of Matthew and chapter 10. The context of this is when Jesus sent out the disciples to preach. So they were, he's sending them out now to give that life out. And at the end of this, he says this: anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Now listen to this. Whoever finds his life, whoever works on his own rights, will lose his life. Exercising your own rights when you are in the kingdom is a worthless pursuit. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Oh, right. Sermon on the Mount, you know it. Let's. I will put it up as well. Chapter 6, verse 31, is it 33? You all know this. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For even the pagans, listen, the world has those rights. But they run after all these things. And your Heavenly Father, knows that you need these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. For those who seek to promote their own life will lose it. But those who give it up and say, Lord, I give it all up for you and your kingdom, will keep it. Wow. We're here because we're wanting to build better, stronger, together. We're here in this series so that we get it right and sorted out here in this place. I don't have a right to tell you what to do. I don't have that right. I don't have a right to expect anything of you. I can't make you do anything. It's your choice. But our choices in the kingdom and outside always have consequences. He who seeks to keep his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will keep it. You know, brothers and sisters, it's my earnest desire that we, all of us here, give up our lives in order that we can live. Do you know, I want you to live. I want you I want your life in God to expand and explode. I don't know whether it's true if I say everyone, but most fathers, good fathers, their deep desire is that their children will surpass them. And the desire of the leadership of this church is that you will grow and grow deeper and deeper in the love of God and in the knowledge of Him. So that many of you, especially the younger people, of course, will surpass us. That you'll go on to be those that lead churches and lead many sons to glory. Better, stronger, together here in Oasis. Amen.